Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. So we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, we've got a guarantee in the A&M Clemson game, and it comes from the Aggies. But guess who? We'll get that as part of sound check coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. It's also a Trash Tuesday, so this hour I will be reading through all of your trashes this morning. Send us your trashes by tweeting at me, DA, on CBS. But let's begin with Jared Stidham, which feels like a weird place for us to start, correct? DA, backup quarterback, fourth round draft pick, Patriots, he'll never get in because Brady never gets injured. Why would you begin this hour talking about Jared Stidham? Well, because something really interesting was written by Christopher Gasper of the Boston Globe, who I know very well from my time in Boston. I really like his style, and it's the reason this one caught my eye was because he is not a tabloid artist, a clickbait guy. He is very down the middle, very logical and even-handed in almost everything that I've read from him. He's certainly not a headline-grabbing writer. And this was just part of his notes over the weekend, his Sunday notes in the Boston Globe, about the final cuts of the Patriots. Now, the backup quarterback is going to be young Jared Stidham, who at times of the preseason definitely did not look good, but won the job. Brian Hoyer got cut. Hoyer ended up signing with the Indianapolis Colts. Gasper wrote, and this is before Hoyer signed that deal with the Colts, Belichick left the door open to a return for veteran backup Brian Hoyer, assuming Hoyer did not decide to hook on with another team. Given their roster crunch and the stars in the eyes look the organization has for rookie Jared Stidham, it wasn't surprising the Patriots tab Stidham as Brady's sole backup. Still, it's a bit dangerous when considering the rest of the win-now roster composition. In a Brady emergency, the difference between Hoyer and Stidham could be the difference between getting a first-round bye or not. Hoyer could definitely keep the Pats afloat for 4 or 5 games in Brady's absence. So this takes into account a couple of assumptions. Number one, that Brady would get injured, that you would need somebody to step in and keep them afloat. Brady's almost never injured. Brady never misses games. Brady is 42 years old, and at some point, Brady is going to look 42 years old. And this could be the season. I've talked about this openly. I think it's quite presumptuous to just assume that Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the NFL or one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and that there is no erosion happening, because there were times last year where there definitely looked like there was erosion happening, specifically the Super Bowl. I find it interesting, and I admit I have an anti-Patriots bias, but I do honestly think that if Jared Goff hits 1 or 2 passes and the Patriots had lost said Super Bowl 13-10 or 16-13, I think the entire offseason would have been centered around how Tom Brady, it's over. He looked his age in the Super Bowl. Finally, you had to prepare for life after Brady. I mean, remember, Tom Brady in the second half against the Chiefs looked pretty mortal at times, specifically when Patrick Mahomes had come back from the deficit and was throwing it all over the place. Now, Brady obviously got it done when it mattered in overtime, but that following that with the Super Bowl and the end of the Steelers game last year, had he lost the Super Bowl, that was a very mediocre average performance by Brady, besides for one or two big throws. The throw to Gronk was beautiful. That we'd have a totally different narrative about Brady. That's how dramatically that would have shifted. And if Brady missed time this year, then it would make sense to suggest that Hoyer at 33 would be able to keep the Pats afloat, knowing that a game here or a game there, when the Patriots don't play at home in the playoffs, it's much different. And when the Patriots play wild card weekend, they never make it to a Super Bowl. Now, they rarely do have to play wild card weekend, but those three games en route to a Super Bowl is far different than two games, especially if two are on the road. So I think that's a fair point by Gasper, although I don't think that assuming Brady's going to be injured for four or five games is necessarily a reasonable expectation this year. But beyond that, this is what I found interesting from Gasper. Quote, with the Patriots, it's often about the bigger picture. Hoyer was collateral damage in the tug of war between Brady and Belichick for top billing in the Pats dynasty. Belichick thought he found Brady's heir apparent once with Jimmy Garoppolo. If he can do it again with Stidham and the organization wins with Stidham, either with Belichick as the coach or with Belichick's successor, then the arrow on history's gauge ticks in Belichick's direction. Never underestimate the importance of this. It's the undercurrent of the organization, especially with Brady playing on a reworked final year that precludes the Pats from using the franchise tag on him after the season. That's why we've been force-fed Jared Stidham. End of quote. Now again, Gasper is not one of these guys that writes crazy articles to grab attention, that does clickbait. I've always found him very reasonable, very logical, etc. And here he is, who has been around the Patriots organization for damn near 15 years, saying that the undercurrent of the organization is a Brady-Belichick battle of who was most important to the dynasty. And that in doing so, they're making roster decisions. And that this, by the way, might be a real important dynamic of Brady sticking around and playing this long. That he doesn't want Belichick to have a lot of success after he leaves, because then it might compromise how we look at Tom Brady. In other words, let's say Jimmy Garoppolo had stayed with the Pats. And let's say they pushed Brady out the door 2 years ago. And that Garoppolo won two Super Bowls over the next 5 years with the Patriots. And maybe Garoppolo becomes a little bit like Rodgers after Favre. Even better. It'd be hard to believe because of what we think of Brett Favre, or what we think rather of Tom Brady. But what happens if Garoppolo suddenly was there and won three championships in 7 years? And now we're going, well, geez, that's really more about this Patriots organization. And if Belichick's still coaching Belichick, and that maybe it wasn't just about Tom Brady, you know? And there might be this fear of Brady leaving by Brady that he doesn't want to give up how people view him in terms of importance in the organization. And for Bill, let's face it, I mean, Belichick's a pretty proud guy, and Belichick has two Super Bowl rings before Brady as a defensive coordinator. And I'm sure he doesn't love the idea of people assuming that, well, the Patriots could have done anything without Tom Brady. That Brady is everything, and that Brady has bailed Bill out of some bad situations, that Brady is the face of the franchise, and that it's Brady, Brady, Brady. He's the GOAT. I'm sure Bill wouldn't mind having a couple of seasons after Tom retires to at least establish the successor, if not win a couple of games. Because let's face it, 11-5 with Matt Cassel, Belichick doesn't forget that. Belichick won a nationally televised game with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback when Jacoby Brissett couldn't throw a forward pass. Bill knows he can win with other quarterbacks. He knows it. And he might want to prove it. And he might not want to give Tom Brady the satisfaction of keeping Brady's friend around, Brian Hoyer, as a 33-year-old backup, but instead preparing the next guy to be the successor. I find this really, really interesting because we're kind of just assuming for the outside, well, it's just about winning titles in New England and it's all in right now and they've got to win because they know that they're at the end of Brady. And here is this idea that Belichick is making roster decisions based on his own ego. And that's why the Patriots are force-feeding everybody that Stidham's this, Stidham's that, Stidham's this. Something to watch over the course of this NFL season if Stidham ever gets in. He might not. But is Belichick kind of sticking a little bit of a middle finger right at Brady with this decision? And Brady is on record of loving Brian Hoyer. And he said, you know what? We're good. We'll keep the fourth string kid. It is at the very least Belichick preparing for perhaps when, if Brady is finally done, what his organization is going to look like. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Mark is next up. He's in Baltimore, listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 there. Mark, good morning. Who are you trashing?
Good morning, DA. I am trashing Brewers fans. I went to a game last week, and they were, St. Louis is coming into town. It's the beginning of a three-game series. They were two or three games back, and about 20,000 people, half of them being Cardinals fans. As a big sports fan myself, I was pretty upset that you don't come to watch your team that's trying to make a playoff push. Now they're seven back, and sort of, you know, they sort of deserve it. But thanks. Please trash them.
All right, trash them. That it is! Hans tweets, I'm trashing those who try to make a point on social media by caps locking words they want to emphasize, like facts or you. A single asterisk before a word or exclamation mark punctuating sentences reflects urgency just fine. Don't text yell at me, Junior. Hashtag Trash Tuesday. Don't text yell at me. Trevor in Bomb City tweets, I'm trashing Mraz. He's been so knee-jerk on Daniel Jones, I'm amazed his ACLs haven't ripped live on the set. Oh, it's only going to get worse. Because Jones had another decent game in game number four. And Eli's going to look old. And Mraz is going to stomp his feet and yell throughout this entire season that the Giants should put in Daniel Jones, and he's going to say they're going to take off as soon as they put in Daniel Jones. They're going to make the playoffs with Daniel Jones. He's the next guy. It's inevitable. I mean, Mraz, already you're talking about Jones as the best player in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, again, anything can change, but that much through 4 weeks of preseason was obvious that he is the best player in the NFL draft, and this wasn't a reach, and he's ready to go.
Do you think it's at all important that it's forced preseason weeks?
Well, when it was Baker Mayfield or Dak Prescott and they shine in the preseason, it was, wow, look, the Browns and Cowboys have something. When the Giants guy shines in the preseason, it's like, oh, it's just the preseason. It's so funny how it works the other way.
Well, it is just the preseason. Okay. It always has been just the preseason. It still is.
Did you see him throw an interception in the preseason? I'm still looking for one. Did you see his footwork in the preseason?
Footwork.
Did you see his arm zip in the preseason?
So now you're doing.
Did you see his pocket precision in the preseason?
Now you're doing Gruden quarterback camp. You're looking at footwork.
I'm watching everything. This guy's got it all. He's the Terminator of quarterbacks.
The Silver Fox tweets, I'm trashing Facebook, DA. I'm listening to the Indians game. They're losing 9-2. My cousin and I are lamenting our woes to one another on Facebook, and I say, the Indians are trash. I was instantly banned by Facebook for racism. They refused my appeal. That's taken out of context, I think, by Facebook. That's where a human would be better than the algorithm. Silver Fox includes the hashtag, I'll say what I want, Dave! Okay, Dave! It's my show, Dave! I'll say what I want, Dave! When we come back, your best audio of the day, including a guarantee by A&M that they're going to beat Clemson. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
I'm a truck driver. I'm driving down the highway. Bel Moraz, I stopped in this little hole in the wall in Oklahoma last night. I had a double bacon cheeseburger and some fresh cut homemade french fries.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
If you want to pass along what you ate for dinner or lunch to Moraz, dial us up at 855-212-4CBS. Sunday, the NFL on CBS schedule kicks off. Two of the most dynamic QBs of the game, Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes, making their highly anticipated 2019 debuts. Check local listings for the game in your area. It all begins with the NFL Today, only on CBS. Also, the DA Show, you can watch when it is you want to watch it. We're available on YouTube. Just search the DA Show on YouTube, and you'll get the best of clips every single day. Tis a Trash Tuesday. Luke tweets, I'm trashing Oregon Duck fans that think that they have it bad the past few years and give up after 1 week, when being a Beaver fan my whole life, I have a couple of seasons, just only a couple of seasons, to even be proud of.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
You'll always have Mike Riley, Luke.
That's very good, Damon.
Daniel tweets, I want to trash Moraz for actually thinking the Giants and Daniel Jones are going to be good. Hashtag get him out.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
It's electric.
Shady Sean tweets, I've never been happier to hear the emergency broadcasting test as when Moraz was going on and on about Danny Dimes and his feet and his footwork and his arms.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
It's only going to become more insufferable, so I want to alert everybody right now so that you know what you're getting into. Daryl tweets, I'm trashing the wannabe king of chubbos that walked into a restaurant while we were eating wearing a khaki kilt. His thighs were too thick for shorts, and he definitely did not have the legs for it.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Kaz and Wisco tweets, I'm trashing Todd in Connecticut from Friday. First, he called Moraz fat. What are we, in middle school? Yawn. And second, who cares about your fantasy draft scheduling conflicts? Hashtag take a lap.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Friday, Todd in Connecticut doubled down on his now signature opening line of phone calls.
Yeah, I always start my phone call off, and I know you know from the past. I just have to say, you know, Moraz is fat.
Yeah, fat. You're not wrong. Yeah.
You know, I had to add that. I mean, just always a good thing.
Yeah, I appreciate you clarifying that. Now, Todd was also doing it for dramatic effect there, too. It was Moraz is beat, 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 and then he said the F word. I'm not allowed to say it. Moraz has banned the F word around here for those that aren't chunky, so I can't say it. But Todd in Connecticut found the loophole. Just got to call in.
You know, Moraz is fat.
Now, that was pretty dramatic pause, Moraz, and I think you have to at least tip of the cap to him.
No.
Because
no.
It was, he built up the drama.
There's no drama. He calls it the same stupid line every time. And you know what? If you want to call me fat, fine. Be funny about it. At least have some character. Also, your name's Todd and you're from Connecticut. Be more generic of a human being. At least I got some spice. At least I'm like a cracked red pepper here. You know, there's a little flavor to me.
I don't think it's Todd's fault that his name is Todd or that he's from Connecticut.
It may not be his fault, but it's also not my fault that I'm fat.
Well,
so if you want to make fun of me that I'm fat, I'm going to make fun of you that you're named Todd and you live in Connecticut. Todd. Like, have you ever seen a baby named Todd in the last 30 years, by the way? What an ugly baby that must look like. Hey, look at little Todd here. You want to hold Todd? You want to milk Todd? I mean, what are we doing here?
You want to milk Todd?
Oh, no, I think Todd milks.
No. No. No, none of that is right.
I don't know. I've been reading a lot on breastfeeding lately. I got a baby and do.
You want to milk Todd?
You're right. The baby doesn't get milk. The mom gets milk.
You know, Mraz is...
also...
fat.
I'm not one to throw stones, obviously, but I think it is your responsibility that you're overweight.
No. No, I was fed a lot of soda and supersized meals when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. I wasn't old enough of my own money to make my decisions. I make my decisions now. It's healthier.
And now it's mom.
But that's a long time ago. That's like 25 years
ago.
But
it put the glucose in my blood, Damon. Come on. Those cells are there. You know how hard a battle it is? It's uphill all the time. I'm drinking, look at this. I'm drinking the purified water now every day. I've tried the shakes. I had lettuce the last two nights. What do you want from me?
Yeah, but how many cheeseburgers did you also have this weekend?
I won! But okay. It was at least the brisket meat.
And
leaner.
And nobody in your family is overweight. So what happened to your sisters?
But I don't know. Okay, I was the trial kid, all right? I lost out, all right? A lot of corn syrup. There's a lot of things that went in my blood that, like, frankly, it's been an uphill battle since. I think I've done a good job battling. But to use it against me, call me fat when you're named Todd, take a lap.
Let's get
to Mraz is fat.
Let's get to the best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
A&M Clemson is one of the games of the college football weekend, including Texas and LSU. But here's A&M offensive lineman Jared Hocker, who is guaranteeing an A&M win over the defending national champs.
I like being the underdog, you know. You always have something to prove, so I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
Does that make them ripe for an upset?
Oh, yes, it does. There will be an upset.
There will be an up. There will be blood. Guarantee it. Yeah, I don't think that an offensive lineman should be guaranteeing anything. I don't think anybody should be guaranteeing anything against Clemson. This game also is on the road at Death Valley. That's not exactly the type of place that you want to be guaranteeing wins. If you're A&M, I think shutting your mouth and not giving Clemson any more fuel would probably be a good thing. Clemson also is a 17-point favorite. Jared Hocker's going to have to black his ass off. And even that's probably not going to be enough. Here's Nick Saban on Jalen Hurts transferring to Oklahoma and having 6 touchdowns in his debut.
I didn't see the game last night. We work on Sunday nights, but I hear he played extremely well, did an outstanding job, and that doesn't surprise me in the least bit. And we're really happy for him, not only in the way that he handled himself throughout this entire process, but now that he's having success as well.
Sounds really happy. Yeah, Nick sounded really enthusiastic and happy. I thought the interesting thing about Jalen Hurts was after 500 yards of total offense and 6 touchdowns and putting up 49 points, he wasn't happy about his performance or the team's performance, talking about sloppy. We have to tighten things up. And I think that Jalen Hurts came from Alabama, where everything is buttoned up and everything is paid attention to, and the defense isn't a total sieve. And he came into Oklahoma and realized there's a lot of work to go. That the expectation in Alabama is totally unlike anything that he's going to see in the Big 12. And even Oklahoma, who is the premier program of that conference, isn't anywhere near the expectation of what Nick Saban does to Alabama. I think he realized it's like going from varsity to JV, and that he could just run around and 49 points, granted that wasn't a conference game, but realizing, you know, that doesn't win us playoff games. That might win us conference games, won't win us playoff games. Finally, Hurricane Dorian, obviously, has been the story of the weekend. And there's a Florida resident who, on the 911 Twitter account, breaking 911 Twitter account, explains his solution for slowing down the storm.
Can't see how they haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet. They keep saying, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, oh, it said this, but it's going to hit all this warm weather. All this warm weather and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going? There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and saying, well, now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse, but you tell us, oh, it's the warm weather. Oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. Drive some Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way. Get the Navy to go in circles to fight it the other way.
So let's just recap what this guy's solutions are to fighting elements of nature. He wants to drop ice, the Navy to drop ice in the ocean. Okay. He also wants the Navy to circle. Is that right? Circle the storm?
The Air Force. Get the Air Force planes up. But have the Navy help them as well.
I think he wants the Navy also in the water, changing the current of the Atlantic Ocean. And then he also wants the Air Force. And how does this usually work? That if you get enough Air Force planes going, you can change the wind direction?
Yeah, change the wind direction. Push it to somebody else's problem.
Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way.
How exactly do you think airplanes work? How exactly is it, sir, that you think that airplanes work? You think that if you just have an Air Force flying in a different direction, that causes gale force winds? And you could reverse gale force hurricane winds with a couple of airplanes?
And let's just say, for whatever reason, his plan works. His plan also means those areas just devastated by the storm, give it back to them again a second time around.
Seriously. And how much ice does he think you need to drop in the ocean to cool down the temperatures of, you know, the ocean?
All this warm weather and warm water.
You know, it's not like going to Sonic and you're like, ooh, wow, I got all this crushed ice. This is going to be really cold. Like, it's going to take a little bit more than adding ice from the fast food machine to cool down the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, and how about the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going?
Like, the tone is amazing to me. Not like, hey, could we do something like crazy sci-fi to fix the storm? No. Like, how are these idiots not doing these obvious things?
How they not figure this out?
To fix the storm.
Yeah. Ice. Why are they not just dropping a bunch of ice? Like, if they go out there with a huge 64-round soda, just drop the ice, finish the soda, put the ice in the ocean. You know?
Did I say this to you last week, maybe off the air? I feel like there should be an intelligence test to, like, live. Like, that man shouldn't be allowed to vote or, like, rent a car. Other things maybe he should be cut off from because that's how he thinks things work and how they could be fixed.
Those are bad takes. Those are really bad takes.
Bad's not a good enough word.
Around to get the winds going the opposite way.
Duh. Come on, people.
Get those planes going. Whip it into a frenzy.
Go get an iceberg, drag it up here, put it in the ocean, and then we're done.
All this warm weather and warm water.
Okay. Throw a hook around Greenland. Okay.
Did we buy that yet?
Haul Greenland down to the Caribbean. It's full of ice. It's going to melt right there in the ocean. It's going to, okay, there's warm water. Then it's going to be obviously cold water. All right. And then you have a bunch of Southwest airplanes take off. Just all the ones, okay, coming from Miami Airport and even Lauderdale. We'll take those. Southwest, fly into the storm.
You go okay? Counterclockwise.
We'll have drones just lead the way. And then we'll have the winds go the opposite direction and we'll be fine.
Well, now it's getting worse.
Oh, well, guess you didn't do your job here, Navy and Air Force.
All this warm weather and warm water.
Warm weather.
What am I paying taxes for?
Warm weather, warm water.
Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way.
I hear how great our military forces are. I don't see them stopping any natural disasters. I keep seeing them happen. So how great could they really be? What are we really teaching the academies here? All right, when we come back here, Team USA, I told you it was going to be a problem at FIBA. Nobody listened to me. It's going to be a real problem. And it was a problem today. It was a real problem, and nobody's listening to me. This is a catastrophic event that's going to happen at FIBA, and nobody's going to care.
How could it?
And I'm the one that called it. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
Speaking of the double, we was just talking about the DA show. I mean, he looks like somebody that's going to steal your tax money. He looks like a white-collar criminal. You can never trust a dude with good hair like that with two buttons down.
Two buttons down is the telltale sign?
Yeah, one, two, yeah, you can almost see a sternum.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Uh-oh. Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
So many ways you can listen and follow and be one with the DA show. You can follow me on Instagram at Damon Amendo. Check out IG stories for behind the scenes of the DA. Also, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/the DA show, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. On a Trash Tuesday, we are taking out the trash. Sounds like some of you guys are trashing the guy in Florida that wants to drop ice in the ocean to stop Hurricane Dorian. Lonnie tweets, yeah, if we drop ice in the ocean, won't that mess up the salt content? Will the fish die? No fish, no whales, seals, spiral effect. All life on Earth dies. Yeah, let's do that. Trash him.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Well, it's getting worse.
Jarrett tweets, hey, can this guy produce the DA show? Trevor in Balm City tweets, thermodynamics don't work that way. Even if they made enough ice to dump into the ocean and cool down the Atlantic, the amount of heat they would have to remove from the water to make that ice would still outweigh the heat the ice would offset.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Where does the salt go?
Well, the storm's getting worse.
Well, it's getting worse.
Apparently, our military didn't do anything.
All this warm weather and warm water.
Asleep at the wheel again. The Army didn't do nothing. The Navy didn't do nothing. The Air Force didn't do nothing. The Coast Guard didn't do nothing. My house is going to be gone. No roof tomorrow. But hey, as long as the Air Force is still in business, huh?
Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way.
What else are they doing right now? I just saw a trailer for Top Gun 2. What else are they even doing?
If the Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going?
I don't understand why the Navy, David Robinson, doesn't get onto a boat, bring a whole bunch of ice, dump it in the ocean. Why isn't Tom Cruise up in one of them planes flying the opposite direction? Then the water's cold. The winds are going the opposite way. No Dorian. I got my roof.
But it's going to hit all this warm weather. All this warm weather and warm water.
Norman tweets, I'm trashing the girl who is taking image shots at the local arcade, took my son to play games, and she's upset that she can't strike a pose on the Cruisin' USA steering wheel.
Splash Brothers? More like the Trash Brothers.
William tweets, Todd, why are you fat? Mraz, I don't know, Todd.
You know, Mraz is fat.
DA, this is from Tyler. Actually, from the handle, Tyler is cool. Tyler, I want to trash Florida State fans who take the loss way, way too seriously. Hashtag way to go, guys.
Stinky debris.
Paul tweets, I'm trashing the people that still take your spot in line after you hold the door open for them to be polite.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Let's get to the story that did not make the cut this morning.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's The Cut Line.
I tried to warn everybody a couple of weeks ago, and Bogus and Mraz laughed at me. And here I was saying it's going to be a tough road. We're not going to win gold at the FIBA World Cup in basketball. It's going to be a national outcry, and you guys don't see it coming, and you got to realize nobody's going to notice until we crash and burn. And guess what happened today? We played Turkey, who's number 17 in the world. We're number one, and we almost lost. In fact, we should have lost. At the end of the game, trailing by two, the U.S. had multiple three-pointers to try to win. They couldn't make a shot. It was totally a disaster. And luckily, thankfully for the U.S., Jason Tatum, at the buzzer, takes a shot. It's woefully off on the three-point, but he's fouled. He goes to the line and makes two of three. And Chris Middleton had to make free throws as well just to get the winning point in overtime. Turkey missed four consecutive free throws with 9 seconds left that would have won the game. So it took basically a miracle for us to beat Turkey. And now Jason Tatum's injured. It took them missing free throws, four of them, us making free throws, us missing three-point shots, but then fouling us on a three-point shot of the buzzer just to beat the number 17 team in the world. And no, Mraz, Turkey is not where your Thanksgiving dinner comes from. This is going to be a nightmare, and it's happening, and nobody's going to notice it until it happens. And I was on this train early. It's going to be a cataclysmic international affair where we're going to lose the gold medal, and nobody's going to have even seen it coming, even though we should have, and I saw it coming.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye. You
happy now, Mraz? We got no good players on this team. Nobody wanted to play. The other countries have gotten better, and suddenly we're going to lose, and everybody's going to have egg on their face.
Yeah, egg on their face. You didn't even know the game was on until Bogus mentioned in the update. We don't even know what channel the game was on.
All right.
And by the time the Pelicans and Raptors tip off, nobody's going to remember this tournament existed, win or lose. So, yeah, catastrophic? Something? You said cats and lismic. Whatever word that is, it's not happening.
It is happening. They're going to lose the gold medal. And you're going to be sorry you ever doubted it.
Can you say the word real quick before you toast it?
Cataclysmic.
Cataclysmic.
All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. I love College Football Game Day. I think it's just one of the best sports TV shows on. I think it's a great production. And I like the Bear. He's a pleasant guy. He does little gambling episodes on College Football Game Day. But when you're talking about real big-time college football items, I don't understand why they need to toss to the producer that handles the gambling.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
They toss to the Bear, who's the bald, fat producer that does some picks.
Sugar, that's sweet. And a hoon on me.
And they say, sounds like Mraz. They say,
I love my sausage smoked.
Bear, what do you think about the transfer portal? And I nearly took my phone off the deck and threw it into the pool and dove headfirst into the ground. I said, you have three former All-Americans on your set. You have the guys, some of the best analysts in the world of college football. I want to know what they think about the transfer portal, not your gambling producer. What the Bear says is no bearing. You're paying these guys millions of dollars to talk about college football. Millions. Desmond Howard, David Pollack, Kirk Herbstreit must make $10 million between them. They must. And they're going, and what, Bear, what do you think about this? What does the Bear think? Who cares what the Bear thinks?
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
Ever. Just make sure the camera's on, Bear. I mean, are you serious? I mean, you have now already taken one of the great sports shows ever, and you've already screwed it up. You can't screw it up. It's impossible to screw it up. This is an important topic, and you went to the Bear?
There will be a remake of The Terminator within the next decade, and LeBron will be the star.
The freaking Bear. It's week one. Okay. You know, if this is the one game where you're doing, like, Holy Cross against, you know, Bentley, that dumb
easy
game that they do.
Easy.
You know, and you want to ask the Bear something about that because there's nothing else to break down. It's week one of the college football season, and I've got Herbstreit leaning across the desk going, And so, Bear, what do you think about the transfer? I don't care!
Slobs are allowed to be in now.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Peter tweets, I'm trashing people who wear football jerseys to a baseball game. These are the same people who order a Big Mac at a Burger King.
Is Mraz going to survive?
I don't even think Mraz has done that before.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Reed Phillips tweets, the overzealous sneezer has to be trashed. You got to bless you on the first two times. Now you're just making a production of it, and it makes the middle school plays seem tolerable.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
You got the bless you out of it. What more do you need? And Nathan tweets, I'm trashing the entire Tennessee football program. Does no one in Knoxville care? Hashtag, how did that happen? I'm also trashing Butch Jones.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
We picked that apart yesterday. What a nightmare that was on Rocky Top. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchDA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogus on your headlines. We're back at it tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, the mothership disconnects.
Oh, okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.